Now, Babcock and Brown were the darlings of the market as recently as November. This great idea of financial engineering companies. Macquarie blazed the path, did it very well. Then you had some smaller pretenders, Babcock and Brown and Alco. Can you describe to people what these so-called financial engineering companies did?
Well, they just shuffle assets and they just arrange deals for a big fee. So if you look in New South Wales, Babcock and Brown has arranged a $150 million public-private partnership to build a whole bunch of new schools in New South Wales. So rather than the Yemma government saying, well, we're going to pay for build schools, they get Babcock to do it all, a big clever financing deal arranged for the builders and the cleaners and everyone else, keep the debt off the balance sheet of the government, and Babcock makes a big fee along the way. So Babcock and Brown is also running the $3.6 billion rail maintenance contract in New South Wales. So it's the biggest deal of its kind in Australia. For the next 30 years, Babcock and EDI and its consortium partners are delivering all of the maintenance for RailCorp in New South Wales, and they're making a big fee by arranging the deal and getting everyone together.
Okay, but put that way, I should want to have shares in it. Sounds a terrific business.
Well, it does.
To be a shareholder in.
Well, that's right. But the problem is that Babcocks have basically bought $70 to $80 billion worth of property and infrastructure assets around the world, from the cable underneath San Francisco Harbour to the Telstra of Ireland. Today they've bought the biggest rail business in Europe. They own massive port operations in England, in the north of England. But the problem is that the music is over. The credit crunch has come. They've paid far too much for the assets. They've got $50 billion of debt, and it's game over. And their share prices are collapsing all around them. There's a complete capital strike. No one will give them any more money. Billions have been lost. And in the finance game, it's all about confidence and reputation. So I think it's fair to say after today's additional 24% slump in the Babcock share price on top of the 27% slump yesterday, the thing's done 50% in 2 days, it's gone. It's just going to be a massive banking workout all over the world with governments looking at their contracts all over the world. The Long Bay Forensic Hospital is a Babcock deal, $130 million Babcock deal. What happens to that if Babcock falls over? And these are the questions that everyone's going to be asking.
Okay, so in other words, it's not just a finance story. It's a story about all those schools and hospitals and so forth.
It is. This is the first time that a finance house which owns so many sensitive infrastructure assets that normally are delivered and built by governments has fallen over. I mean, the vast rail networks and operations in Western Australia, the huge Dalrymple Bay coal port facility in Queensland, Victoria's new children's hospital down here in Melbourne. It is extraordinary the scale of the assets that these financial engineers have built up. First, we saw Orco fall over, and they were sort of big on trains and planes and these things. And now Babcock is collapsing around us. And this story will be like no other, I think, in terms of finance collapses, simply because of the sensitivity of the assets involved.
Okay, so many of the public assets and important ones. Aren't you being a little bit dramatic? Won't Macquarie, for instance, which does seem to be much more stable, it's got a deeper balance sheet, won't they just come along, they and others, and cherry-pick these assets?
Well, possibly, but, I mean, Babcock's have got about a dozen different listed vehicles. So, you know, Macquarie might come along and try and buy the wind farm business or the power station business, or the ports. You know, there's all these different businesses, but in terms of the whole empire, it's strewn out amongst all these assets, and all of them are plunging today and the last few days. So Babcock & Brown Japan is down by 15% today. Babcock & Brown Capital, which owns the Irish telco, is down 15-20%. So they're all crashing, and the key issue here is that the parent company, Babcock & Brown, the mothership, has the rest of the empire. You can't sack them. If you do sack them, you've got to keep paying them for 25 years. So it's very difficult to do a hostile takeover of any of the vehicles because, by definition, it sort of destroys the value because it's probably interwoven. But the bottom line here is that literally $4 to $5 billion of investors' money has now been lost. There's $50 billion of debt. There's $80 billion of assets all over the world, and it's just going to be an incredible workout situation, I think, over the next year or two.
They'll be very keen to do asset sales, though, won't they?
Well, the big one they reckon is going to save them is they've got a whole pile of wind farms in Europe. And I've seen reports this morning from both Merrill Lynch and UBS predicting that they will be able to sell a big portfolio of wind farms and generate a net profit of between $300 and $550 million. So this is the big deal saver that, that Babcock themselves are pointing to. But then you've got the issue of what happens at Babcock and Brown Power, which is one of our biggest power station companies in Australia, which has been crippled and hit by this whole gas explosion in WA, and it needs $600 million. It's trying to roll over its debt, and it needs $600 million desperately, can't get it, and selling wind farms in another business or in the parent company is not going to save the power company. So it's the whole issue of, you know, if one part of the empire comes tumbling down, does that cause contagion and bring down the rest, and what are the whole connections between all of them? And I think at the end of the day, there are a few connections, and the brand is now stuffed, I think, because of the all the publicity and all the lost billions. So I'll be very surprised if they come through this.
So many people have paid such a lot of money to analyse the share market, you know, industry fund managers and journalists and so forth. Why did no one predict that this business was that fragile? It was so successful just a few months ago, really. Well, 6 months ago anyway.
Well, I guess, Richard, the credit crunch was certainly an unprecedented event. It was the first time in our globalised world we've seen a global liquidity crunch where you literally couldn't roll over debt, you know, if you needed it in reasonably short period of time. Now, Babcock looked like they had survived it, and they'd done a few new deals with their bankers, and everything seemed to be okay. But then their power fund, Babcock and Brown Power, came out a couple of weeks ago now with a shock announcement saying they were struggling to roll over their debt and that the parent company might need to help them out. And that caused their shares to plunge. And then they got hit again by the gas explosion in WA, and then the credit rating went down, and then their shares plunged. And then the poor old Babcock itself, the parent company, got hit when the value of the company fell below $2.5 billion yesterday, which means that the banks are in control because that breached a key trigger point in their banking relationship.
So in other words, once things start unravelling, they just unravel.
That's right. And once everyone said the bankers are in control, everyone just said, well, that now it's in a workout situation. And the bankers are so nervous because all these banks, there's 25 banks who've lent Babcock all this money, many of them are in crisis too. So, for instance, Royal Bank of Scotland, which has today sold this $7.5 billion European rail business to a Babcock-arranged consortium, they have been going through their own massive crisis, raising tens of billions of dollars, trying to keep the wolves from the door. And they'll no doubt be one of the bankers who's now in there dealing with Babcock. So when you're at the mercy of your bankers in the middle of a global credit crisis, it's not a good time because it's very difficult to go and renegotiate your deal with your bankers because everyone is so scared in this whole global credit crunch.
Cash is king and debt is a big problem.
That's right.
Stephen, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks, Richard.
There's Stephen Mayne.